Okay, so I think we'll begin with a recap, quick recap of what we spoke about last week, and then we will try to get into the actual, the second side over here, actual foods. I always find it's a little difficult to talk about so many varied different foods without having the food in front of you. Makes people hungry. But anyway, at least it's not a tinnitus. Okay.
Can you make it a little louder?
I can speak louder. Yeah, okay. Yeah, well, try to speak louder. Okay. So again, I said we're going to start with a recap of last week, and then we'll try to get through as much of the other side as we can of actual foods. Whatever we don't cover, feel free to email or leave a message, and I'll try to answer each particular question, provided that I know the answer. Okay, so what we discussed last week was the concept of ikar v'tafel, the concept of a primary food and a secondary food, is based on the fact that's a given in Hilchos Brachos, that if the two items are considered one food, the same way we understand when even though one particular food, like a cake, has various ingredients, still all the ingredients just combine to make one food, and no one would think that you have to make a mezaynes because of the flour, and a shahakal because of the sugar, and a haetz because of the walnuts, or whatever it is. So that concept is applied to everything that's an ikar v'tafel. Anytime you combine two foods, and they are combined into one unit, into one entity, the halacha is they have only one bracha, and the determining bracha is the primary food, the food that's the main food, and the secondary food, which is only coming to enhance the primary food, is covered by the bracha of the primary food. That's the concept of ikar v'tafel. And we said, as that being the case, any time when the two foods aren't combined, like for example, you just have on your plate different foods, you have chicken on your plate and a salad on your plate, even though you're eating them simultaneously, but being that they in no shape or form have been combined, you're just eating them at the same time, so that's why the halacha of ikar v'tafel won't apply in that case. Now, we also said that, another example of that would be cake and coffee, right? Even though that everybody understands very simply, right? Even though you're eating it together, at the same time, the bracha on the cake won't pat to the bracha on the coffee, won't cover the bracha of the coffee because it's two separate foods. As a result of that, we said anytime you'll split up the ikar and the tafel, for example, if you have a cake with cream and you take a swipe of the cream before you start eating the cake, you know, you just take a little bit of cream off to taste it. So even though technically, were you to eat the cake, you would only make a mezaynus, you wouldn't make a shahakal on the cake, on the cream. But here, where you took the cream off, you would have to make a shahakal on the cream because you separated the ikar from the tafel. Once you separate the ikar from the tafel and you ate the tafel first, so then the tafel is not obviously covered by the bracha of the ikar because you didn't make a bracha on the ikar, you didn't make a bracha on the cake, you didn't make a bracha on the primary food.
Should you ideally not do that?
Oh, and that was another thing we mentioned last week, that a very good point, that it's not a choice to, okay, I don't know the halacha, so I'll just make two brachas, because that would be a bracha she'ena tzricha. Any time where you don't need to make two brachas, because one is the ikra and one is the tafel, and you're only supposed to make one bracha, it's not a choice to make two brachas, because that would be a bracha she'ena tzricha, a bracha that's not necessary, which is equivalent almost to a bracha levatala, a bracha that was made incorrectly, which is a very serious avera. Likewise, a bracha she'ena tzricha, even though this is not quite as stringent, but where the case, what you were just mentioning, that if you're anyway planning on eating the cake in a minute, and you just can't hold back, and you have to taste the cream first, so that would not be the right thing to do, because you're causing yourself to make an extra bracha, which, even though now that you're eating the cream alone, you do technically have to make that bracha, but you should rather not bring yourself to that situation, where if you're anyway going to eat the cake, you should. The correct thing to do is to make a bracha on the cake first, and not have to make a bracha on the cream. So again, demonstrating that the concept of ikar v'tafel is based on that the two foods combined into one food. So now let's move on. Now we said once the two foods combine into one food, now we have to determine which one is the ikar, which one is the primary food, and there are three methods to determine that. The three methods are, number one, purpose. What is the purpose of this combination? Is one, which one is coming to enhance the other one? Which one is the main food over here, and which one is just a dip or a spread or a flavoring or a crumb or something like that, a covering, any one of those? That will constitute that's the main and first consideration and factor in considering Ikar V'Tafel, which one is the primary and which one is the secondary. Obviously, the one that's the main one, the one that's the real food over here, the one that's just the enhancer, is going to be the Tafel. So that's always the first thing that you have to consider when you have Ikar V'Tafel. Very often, there isn't any particular one that's enhancing the other one. Rather, it's just two foods that have been grouped together. Like very often in a salad, there are different brachas in a salad. Part of it can be a ha'etz, and part of it can be a hadama. Sometimes there's a mezainis. And in that situation, there isn't necessarily any one which is the ikar by virtue of that. That's the purpose of this salad. Rather, it's just two different brachas which have been grouped together to make one unit. Then you move on to the second criteria, which is majority. The majority component of the salad, whichever one is the bigger ingredient, if there's much more of a ha'adama in the salad, even though there is a ha'etz component. For example, you have a salad that has avocado in it. So avocado is really a ha'etz. It grows on a tree in California. Mm-hmm. It is ha'etz, but the most of the salad is lettuce and tomatoes and whatever else. So there, being that the majority of the salad is ha'adama, the correct bracha would be ha'adama. So even though the salad is equally as important as all its components, the lettuce is important, the tomatoes are important, and the avocados are important, so they're all equally as important, so therefore you go with the majority, and the majority would be the ha'adama, so the correct bracha would be ha'adama. That's the second criteria. The third criteria, and this is always the monkey wrench when it comes to Ikar V'Tafel, is what complicates things, is when you have a mezainis component, when you have something from the five grains, again, not rice, or not specifically not rice, but otherwise wheat, oats, spelt, rye, any ingredient from the five grains, which is a mezainis, so then it has a whole different status. There's two things that are different about when there is a mezainis in a mixture. Number one, it's not ruled by majority. Majority doesn't play a role. A mezainis component can be the minority and still be the ikar. That's one aspect of mezainis, and we'll go through various cases when that applies and when that doesn't. So mezainis number one is accepted from the rule of majority. It can be the ikar of a mixture. It can be the primary ingredient of a mixture even without being the majority. And secondly, mezainis has a resistance to becoming a tafel. In almost all the cases, you'll see as we go through, even where the mezainis is not the ikar, even if the mezainis is not the main ingredient, it is a secondary ingredient, it still does not become a tafel, which means you would always have to make an individual bracha on it. So there's two aspects of mezainis which very often change and modify the halachas of Ikar V'Tafel. Number one, it has a much better ability to become the ikar, because it can become the ikar even without being the majority. And secondly, it is also, even when it's not the ikar, even when it's clearly not the ikar, for whatever reason, it's clearly a side thing, like we said, croutons, they're clearly a side aspect of the salad, and by no way could be considered the main component of the salad, even so, it will still require often its own bracha, because it has a resistance to becoming a tafel. So that's two aspects of mezainis which change the halacha of ikar and tafel. So again, there are three things. Number one is purpose. You have to determine the purpose over here. Is the purpose which food is the main thing, and which is the second food, which is serving the main food, which is only enhancing and serving some side purpose in enhancing the main food. That's number one. Number two, if that doesn't apply, then you have to start figuring out which is the majority, provided that it's one unit. And number three, if it's a mezainis, it can be accepted from both the previous. It can be considered the main ingredient, even though it's a minority. And even if it's a tafel, even though it's enhancing the other food often, it will still prevent itself from becoming a tafel and require you to make a separate bracha. So those are the factors that we'll use to determine Ikar V'Tafel. Now we'll try to go and develop each category by itself, and try to figure out the individual halachas of each one of these particular categories. So let's start with salads. So a salad, so what we need to know before we start with salads or mixtures, let's call it as a, the group category is a mixture, is this, we're gonna divide this up into two parts. There are mixtures which are meant to be one unit, and there are mixtures which aren't necessarily meant to be one unit. So let me explain. Sometimes you mix two things together, but really you're eating two things which you just happen to mix together, right? For, you know, like an example we spoke last week is cereal and milk often, or even let's more simple than that. Let's say you're eating yogurt and fruit, right? So you eat every day for breakfast, you eat yogurt and you eat a banana. You want to eat a yogurt and you want to eat a banana. And it's more convenient and possibly more tasty to eat it mixed together. So you cut the banana into the yogurt. So even though you've mixed them together, the intention is not to make one unit here. You're eating two individual items. The point is not to make a yogurt-banana mixture. That's not what you're trying to do, right? You're not making some new food, you know, yogurt-banana. You're eating your yogurt and banana. You're just eating it together. So that mixture each one will retain its individual bracha, because that is just a that is just a mixture of convenience, right? Whereas a salad by definition is one unit. A salad is meant, you're adding all the ingredients to create one unit. You're trying to create a salad. The point is not that you want to eat tomatoes and you want to eat peppers and you want to eat avocado. That's not what you're trying to do. You're trying to make a salad. So when you begin this question of how do we decide the bracha of ikar v'tafel when we come to mixtures, first we have to determine, what sort of mixture are we talking about over here? Or is it just a mixture of convenience? It's just two separate things which you happen to slap together? Or are you trying to create a unit? So we're going to first talk about the situations where it's clear that you're trying to create a unit, and then we'll move on to where it's not so clear. So let's talk about a salad, a real typical salad. So a typical salad, right, would be, you know, like let's say we discussed before, an avocado salad. That's a great example. Avocado salad, it's clear you're making one unit out of it. And there's no, you're not trying to eat avocado, you're not trying to eat salad, you're not trying to eat tomatoes, you're trying to eat an avocado salad. And you mix it all together. So that would go to, there's no aspect of purpose, meaning to say, the avocado is not serving the lettuce, and the lettuce is not serving the avocado, and neither is enhancing the other one. They're just combining to make one large salad and one large unit. So we can't use purpose to decide which one should be the ikar over here. So we move on to the next one, and that's majority. So in a typical avocado salad, the majority would be the lettuce. So the correct bracha would be a ha'adama. Now, let's say you have a topping on this particular salad. Let's say the topping is, let's stay away from mezainis for a minute. Let's say the topping is something which is not a mezainis. You put on those fried onions, you know, the hard fried onions, to give it some crunch. So that's a clear topping. A topping is, here you have a salad, a topping by definition is servicing the salad, right? So our dressing is servicing the salad. So the dressing, it wouldn't, even if you would have so much dressing, I wouldn't want to eat that salad, but even if there would be so much dressing that is drowning out the salad and there's a rive of the dressing will never be the ikar of the salad, because the dressing was already knocked out by the first rule. The dressing is only enhancing the salad. A topping is only enhancing the salad. So those things that are clearly enhancers, a topping, an ingredient, a spice, those you never make it to the second rule of majority, because once it's clear that their purpose is to enhance, so they're anyway a tuffle, and they'll be a tuffle regardless. The only time we have to work with majority is when something is not an enhancer. They're both equal ingredients of the salad, like the avocados, tomatoes, lettuce. That's where we go to the majority rule and we make the bracha on the majority ingredient, right? So you know, where it gets interesting is let's say by a sushi salad or a chicken, what's that called again? A chicken cobbler. No. Cobb salad, yes, thank you. You know, when not a chicken salad, meaning it's not chicken with mayonnaise, but you mix chicken into a salad. So there, depending on the amount of chicken you have, and likewise in a sushi salad, which is comprised of sushi, rice, and lettuce, or whatever else you throw in there. So there, there's three different brachas, right? The sushi is shahakal, the rice is mezainos, and the lettuce is hadama. How many brachas should you make on the salad? Should you make three brachas? Should you go with the majority? Or maybe we should say that everything is really just serving the fish. The fish is the main ingredient of the salad. Maybe over here we can already create the ikar v'tafel based on the first rule. Which is the main purpose here? Maybe the main purpose is or this likewise in a salad that has chicken or meat in it, right? When you buy a steak salad, maybe the main ingredient is really the steak, right? And it's just the salad is enhancing the steak, and they mixed it all together to make a salad out of it, right? But the main purpose here is all to enhance the steak. So now this could be very subjective, right? So I'm not going to make a call on it. I don't know exactly when people eat sushi salad. I haven't eaten it that often. I don't know why people are eating it. Are they eating it for the rice? Are they eating it for the fish? All equal. So if you have a particular desire, in other words, you're eating this chicken salad, really your desire is to eat chicken, and that's what you're trying to do over here. That's your protein. It's your main course. You're eating the chicken, and you mix it into the salad because you want the salad to enhance the chicken. So then you can apply the first rule, and the main ingredient would be the chicken, and the salad would be a tafel, and it would only be a shahakal. That would be the only bracha you would make. Likewise, by the sushi salad, you wouldn't make a mezainos, you would not make a hadama, the fish would be the main purpose of this whole salad, everything is just enhancing the fish, so the first rule, purpose, would knock everything out, you would just make a shahakal. I would think, most of the time, people aren't so clear about what they desire or what they don't desire. Yes, you know, they want the fish, that's the main, but they also want the salad, that's just as important to them. So then there is no ikar v'tafel, all right, because there's no purpose. Again, then purpose has been deleted. Purpose can't be used as a factor to decide, right, because each one has the equal importance to you, equal purpose, so they're all equal ingredients in a salad. So then you would go with, technically, what you should work with is majority. Then you should work with majority. That also might be a little tricky when it comes to a chicken salad, depending on how much chicken you have in there.
Huh? So much thought goes into before you make this.
Shouldn't it, right? Yeah. Yeah.
It's like I'm not hungry anymore. Right.
Good, that's good. I can keep on talking about this. Yeah. I would think, again, I'm saying it could be affected by all these things. But I think if you think about it a little bit, even here, before you sit down to your supper, you will understand yourself what typically you want out of a salad, right? And I think by most people, I think women certainly is like that, the main purpose is, you know, it's not, the chicken won't necessarily be the main purpose of the salad. They want the salad as much as they would want the chicken, and, you know, most people is like that. And that being the case, it would require two brachos, and it is possible. Here's where it's interesting. Now, and here the question is as follows. Do we say that the chicken is an ingredient of the salad, and then you work with the majority, right? Or do we say, no, it's like, you know, two things grouped together, chicken, and then it requires two brachas. So, la halacha, I would say like this. This is what I would tell you to do. Again, I'm saying it is subjective, so I'm not telling you definitively it's always going to be like this, but if you're not sure, then you can follow this guideline. A salad, let's say a salad like avocado, lettuce, tomatoes, things like that, that's clearly you go with the majority. Likewise, a fruit salad that has bananas, pineapples, which are hadama, and apples and oranges, which are ha'etz, clearly you go with the majority. That's nothing to talk about. A salad which has a protein ingredient, whether it's tuna, whether it's chicken, whether it's fish, there, I believe, by most people, they want both aspects, and they're eating it together because they enhance each other, but really each one is important to them independently. They would technically eat them independently too, and they just happen to be eating them together. So you should make two brachas. You should make always a shahakal on the protein, either the tuna, the fish, or the chicken, and a hadama on the salad. So that, I think, is clear. The rice, however, if the majority of your sushi salad is lettuce, then you shouldn't make a mezainos on the rice. Just make hadama, because between rice and salad, that I think you should work with the majority. because that's just an ingredient of the salad, and you should work with the majority. So again, when you're faced with a sushi salad, make a shahakal on the fish, and then make, assuming that the lettuce or cucumbers or whatever are the majority, just make a hadama. It happens to be that when it comes to rice, there are a number of people, paiskim, that hold you anyway make a hadama on rice, so you're anyway better off that way. So just make a hadama in that case, and you're fine. So again, just to clarify what we've said over here. So we've said as follows. You look at a salad, you have to, this is the thought process that has to go through your head before you make a bracha. What's going on over here? Is this just one salad with a bunch of different ingredients? Okay, let me figure out the majority. Is there two components here where really I need both, because I need my protein and I need my vegetable? Then it's going to be two brachas. If there are three brachas, figure out what's the third thing doing. Is the third thing just a component to the salad? Then it'll be ruled by majority. If it's also very important to you, and all three are important to you, then it'll require three brachas. And that can also be. That's how you approach a salad. So again, it's because salads are generally a component, like I said, a fruit salad and an avocado salad, those are one component, so there you can easily go with the majority. Now, before we get to mezainis, yeah.
I make a salad that has a pastrami, like a fried pastrami topping, mm-hmm. but it's very small, it's crumbled.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's my favorite part of the salad, but it's definitely not...
It's more the flavoring of the salad, you mean?
Yeah, it's the excitement.
Right.
It's not a big piece, it's not a steak salad.
Right. Okay, so there I think you can apply rule number one. That really, that you see in that situation, that is like a topping almost in the salad, right? So then its purpose is to enhance the rest of the salad.
Mm-hmm.
So then once you have rule number one, then anyway, it's been made an automatic tuffle. Okay. Now, the cases when you have mixtures which require two brachas, we said already yogurt and fruit, right? So they're generally, if you're cutting a fruit into your yogurt, you really want both. And you would make two brachas. However, the yogurts that have the processed fruit in them, right, the yogurt with strawberries or yogurt with blueberries or whatever else is in them, so that is clearly a flavoring of the yogurt. You know, I don't think anybody wants to really eat that fruit as a fruit. Probably doesn't have any nutritional value as a fruit. So that's just a flavoring. So that'll only be a shahakal. That's clear that's a flavoring. Cereal and milk, we mentioned already last week, that is something which is really depends. Some people like the milk because they need milk. They would drink a cup of milk just as easily. So then it's just two independent ingredients which have been grouped together, you know, just to be able that you should be able to eat both. So you make a bracha on cereal, make a bracha on the milk. If that's not the case, and the milk, you don't put in a ton of milk, you put in, you know, enough milk to eat the cereal, to make the cereal enjoyable, and it's just there to enhance the cereal, so then clearly it's an enhancer, you go with the purpose, you go with rule number one, the purpose is the cereal, you only make a mezainis, and as we explained last week, even if you finish the cereal and there's leftover milk, you still don't make a shahakal. Reason being is because you made a bracha on the milk. The bracha was mezainis. The bracha of mezainis was on the cereal and on the milk. So therefore, even after you finish the cereal, you still do not make a bracha on the milk in that case. now, let's now attack the question of what if there is a mezainis component. I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, I didn't see it.
Just back to cereal and milk.
Yeah.
So often my daughter, in her starvation of breakfast,
right,
will start eating the cereal as I'm getting the milk. The milk is coming. What do you do with the broccoli?
You mean so it's not there yet?
It's not there yet.
Okay, very good question. So your question is, let's make it a general question, right? General question is, if you made a bracha on the ikur before the tuffle was mixed in, before the tuffle was combined, let me give you another example. You made a bracha on salad before you added the dressing. Dressing is shahakal, right? It's not hadama. So you made hadama on your salad, and afterwards you added the dressing. Your example
cheese.
You sprinkled cheese on it afterwards. It's also a shahakal. Your case was you started eating cereal, and then you added milk. So in all these cases, this really, it does open up the door to a different discussion about that. But let's assume you knew that you were going to put on cheese. You didn't change your mind about that. Let's say we'll talk about cereal. Certainly the case is you knew you were going to add milk, and the milk was there. The milk was in the room. It was available. The cheese was in the room. The dressing was in the room. So in that situation, then it doesn't make a difference whether it's mixed together or not. It is the tuffle by definition, and the bracha would apply to it the same as when you make a mezainis on the cereal. You can then eat something else that's a mezainis that you had in mind to eat, or you figured you would eat, and it's covered by that. In other words, anything that would be covered by a bracha because you know you're going to eat it, because you know it's coming, it'll likewise be covered as a tafel too. It doesn't have to be an actual physical tafel at the time of the bracha. It doesn't have to actually be mixed together at the time of the bracha in order to be covered by ikar v'tafel. Yeah, very good. So now, let's approach the mezainis. Okay, so we said if you put croutons into salad, what bracha are those croutons? So here's the thing. So now, there are times when, before we go to croutons, there are times when a mezainis can actually take over a salad. For example, there's this angel hair pasta salad, right, where there's two types that I'm referring to. There's one that it's angel hair pasta mixed in with, not lettuce, cabbage, purple cabbage, and other ingredients. There, the primary ingredient by far is the mezainis, so there's nothing to talk about. You make a mezainis, and that covers everything. You only make a mezainis on that salad. Then there's another type of salad. You can get the recipe from my wife. It's lettuce and cold cuts and angel hair pasta mixed in. Now, the angel hair pasta is not the majority, but it is a significant amount, right? So it's not just a couple of noodles. There's a whole chunk of angel hair pasta that's mixed into the salad, but it's not the majority. The lettuce is the majority, and there's also meat in there, which is very important. But the meat is also more like your type of pastrami. It's there for flavoring. It's not like it's a real a component of the salad. So there, like I said, mezainis, as long as it's a real component of the salad, as long as it's a real ingredient of the salad, we don't care about the fact that it's a minority. We do not care that it's a minority ingredient. It'll dominate, and even though it's a minority ingredient, it'll be the ikar, and you will only make a mezainis on the salad. You will not make two brachas. You will only make a mezainis on that salad. The exception, like what I said, was that sometimes the mezainis will not be the ikar, but it still won't become a tafel. That will be croutons. Croutons will not be the ikar of the salad, right? Croutons, their purpose is just to enhance the salad. They can't be considered the main component. So it doesn't even make it into the majority-minority question. There's no way it can take over the salad. It's just enhancing. But croutons have the ability to prevent themselves from becoming a tafel. So even though it won't be the ikar, it won't take over the salad, but it has the other aspect of a mezainis, the other aspect of the five grains, that it prevents itself from becoming a tafel. It prevents itself from being covered by the bracha of hadama on the salad. So you would need to make two brachas. You would need to make a mezainis on the croutons and a hadama on the salad. This will apply as we go on. This will apply to soup. It's the same thing. You put croutons in your soup. You need to make a bracha on those croutons, but they do not take over the bracha of the soup, because they're only enhancing the soup, so they need their own bracha, because they're not covered by the soup. They prevent themselves from becoming a tafel, but at the same time, you need two brachas. Now, this last thing I have over here is a very interesting thing, and it's not really clear what the bracha should be on this. Cookie crumb ice cream. This is interesting because there the cookie crumbs are a real, they're almost like a spice. I mean, the way I'm imagining cookie crumb ice cream, the commercial type where it's just like real, just crumbs, not like big pieces of cookies, little crumbs that are scattered throughout the ice cream. So it's really, it's almost like a spice, right? It's almost as if you used some breadcrumbs and you mixed it into a salad just to give it a spicy taste, to give it a taste that's like in the form of a spice. So over there, that can be an exception to this rule. Back there, even mezainis could be a tafel. If mezainis is a spice, if it is the category of a spice, if it's just being added like a real small amount just for flavoring purposes, right? So then mezainis will become a tafel too. So there we have. So now we have three possibilities with mezainis. Anytime you have now mezainis, really, it always complicates things. Whenever you have mezainis, it always makes things complicated. So whenever you have a mixture with a mezainis in it, you have to think three things. Number one, can mezainis dominate this mixture? Then it's only a mezainis. If it does not dominate the mixture, if it's not a real component, it's just an enhancer, then do you have to make its own bracha? What is it? Is it a spice? No, then you don't make its own bracha. Then it's a tafel. But if it's not a spice, if it's a distinct object, like a crouton, it's a distinct part of this salad, then it does not become the main part of the salad, but it does require its own bracha. Okay, so the three possibilities.
So yes. Is cookie dough ice cream under the category of croutons?
So dough is shahakal. Dough is shahakal. So it won't make a difference. It'll be the same bracha as the ice cream. Dough is always shahakal, yes, a little known fact. Yeah, but dough is always shahakal. It's the only time something is mezainis is only if it's cooked or baked. You cannot be mezainis without being cooked or baked.
Even if it has, like, oats in it?
Oats also are only mezainis if they're cooked or baked.
Twizzlers are confusing?
Twizzlers are baked. But the reason why it's a question is for a different reason. That's beyond the scope of this year. Yeah, and we'll get to that some other time. Yeah.
So what are the three again?
When it comes to mezainis, you have to consider three things. You consider number one: is it the dominating ingredient? In other words, is it a main ingredient of this salad? Is it a main ingredient of this mixture? And even if it's a minority, it'll still take over, and you'll make only a mezainis. That's option number one: only one bracha, mezainis. Option number two. Okay, it's not a dominating ingredient, it's just an enhancer, but it requires you to make two brachas, mezainis plus the other bracha, hadam or whatever else it is. And three, can it truly become a tafel? When is that? When it is just a spice, when it's just a flavoring, when it's so minute and indistinct that it just, it becomes a tafel and does not require its own bracha. Okay, so let's move on to the next category. Let's move on to spreads and dips. Okay, so this is less confusing. This is a little bit clearer because generally with spreads and dips, as we'll see, it's much less subjective. It's much clearer what the purpose is, given the situation, as we'll explain. We've gotten through the hardest part for most of Hilchos Brachos, actually, not just for Iker and Tav. Okay, so here's how it works with spreads and dips. First, let's begin again without mezainis. So when something is a true dip, for example, chips and salsa, right? So you're not here to eat salsa, right? The salsa you put a little bit, it just gives makes the chips geschmack to eat. It gives them some flavor, some zing. So there, the chips is the main bracha, nothing to talk about, right? Whatever particular type of corn chips you have, if they're hadama, if they're shahakal, potato chips, whatever it is that you're dipping into your salsa, the salsa is clearly a tafel, and you only make a bracha on the chips. Likewise, if you have a vegetable dip, right? So it's like a mayonnaise type of dip, a real dip, the vegetables are the ikar, the dip is only a tafel, and there's nothing to talk about, you only make hadama, whatever it is that you're dipping in, that's always going to be the ikar. That's easy. Now, there is an exception to that, not an exception really, but there are dips where they're not really technically dips. For example, an avocado dip, right? So an avocado dip, generally, you're really trying to eat avocado, and you can very clearly see that. Look at the proportion of the avocado to the thing you're dipping, right? You can always see there's this much avocado and very little whatever it is you're using to dip. So obviously, you're not just using it to, like a dressing. You're not just dipping it in like salsa. You're eating avocado too. So that situation, it's not a true dip. Really, it's two things being eaten together, and you're using your vegetable as a fork. You're using it as a tool to eat your avocado. You want to eat the vegetable too. So then you'll have to make two brachas. You'll have to make a bracha on the avocado, which will be ha'etz most of the time, and a bracha on the vegetable, which will be hadama. That will require two brachas. So again, when the dip is quite clearly being eaten in a way that you're trying to eat the other component, also it has its own value. Again, we're applying the concept of purpose, right? You put it into a mayonnaise dip, the purpose is clear. The mayonnaise is just enhancing the vegetable. It does not serve a purpose for itself. When you're eating an avocado dip together with the with the vegetable, then there the purpose is clear. You're trying to eat both. It will not become an ikar v'tafel, and you'll have to make two brachas. Now, if we move on from here, there is a situation where the dip can actually take over the bracha totally. For example, I couldn't really think of such good examples of this, but maybe sometimes you have a simcha, and they make hors d'oeuvres or whatever, and they'll have, let's say, either chopped liver or egg salad or tuna piled up on a cucumber, a slice of cucumber, right? Where it's clear the purpose is the cucumber is just so you can hold it and eat it, but it's a thin slice of cucumber. the cucumber is just really enhancing the tuna. You're not trying to eat the cucumber. The purpose is not to eat the cucumber. It's not like a vegetable dip where, you know, the purpose is the vegetable. The purpose is the tuna. The purpose is the chopped liver. The purpose is whatever. And this is just for the purpose of holding it. So then it becomes a tafel. Then the main bracha is the tuna. The main bracha is whatever it is piled on. That bracha with the shahakal or whatever bracha it might be, and the thing used for holding is a tafel. So again, we have three possibilities over here. The thing on bottom being the ikur, they're both the ikur, or the thing on top being the ikur. The way it works is a very clear distinction. If the thing being dipped is clearly the main ingredient, the main thing you're trying to eat, and the dip is just enhancing it, you work with the purpose, make a bracha on the thing that you're dipping in, the vegetable or the chips. If you're trying to eat both, which can be easily seen by the fact that you're putting on a lot and you're trying to eat both, the bracha is both. If the bottom thing is just for the purpose of holding it, just make it easy to eat, just to be able to get a handhold on the thing piled on, then the cucumber and the tuna in that, let's say, the cucumber will be a tafel to the tuna and the bracha will be only shahakal, the bracha of the tuna on top. Now, over here, interestingly enough, mezainis is the same. Mezainis is the same, works the same way. There's no difference over here when you have a cracker. It'll be the same thing. If you're eating a cracker with a spread, like you're spreading some peanut butter on a cracker, obviously the only bracha is mezainis. If you take a cracker and dip it into a dressing, it'll only be a mezainis. If you have a cracker with tuna, right, where you're trying to eat the tuna, like you're piling on tuna, you're eating a cracker and egg salad, a cracker and liver. Any one of those cases, you need to make two brachas. Right? Again, a cracker is not... Here is one case where mezainis will not be an exception. Not only that, but it can even be all the way the other way too. In other words, if you have a mezainis, which is so tasteless, I don't know, a saltine or... I forgot what it is. They have this very thin type of cracker that really has no taste, like cardboard. Well, wheat thins. Right, those type of things, yeah. Right, each to their own. Whatever tastes less to you. So in any case, where it's clear that thing is tasteless, right, and its only purpose is just to hold the egg salad or to hold the liver, even mezainis can become a tafel in that case. Here, in this halacha, there is no difference between mezainis and anything else. The same three rules apply to mezainis as they do to any other vegetable. If the main thing is the vegetable and the dip is an enhancer, you make a bracha on the vegetable. Mezainis, same thing. If the main thing is both, you're trying to eat two things, you're trying to eat a tuna and a cracker, you're trying to eat a tuna and a vegetable, two brachas. If the main thing is the tuna, the main thing is the chopped liver, the thing on bottom is only solely for the purpose of holding it, then you only make a bracha on the tuna, and you do not make a bracha on the vegetable or a cracker, which is holding it. Now, an interesting application of this is ice cream in an ice cream cone. The cones, which are not sugar cones, right, the regular ice cream cone, right, has no taste, at least last time I had one, a long time ago, but it was, you know, basically tastes like styrofoam, so it had mamish no taste. It's only for the purpose of holding the ice cream, even though you munch on it because it's there. It's a clear tafel. You make only a shahakal on the ice cream. You do not make a mezainis on the cone. Even when the ice cream is all finished and you're still eating the cone, it's a tafel. You do not make a bracha on the cone. Just a shahakal. Like that wasn't an option. That could be subjective then. If it's a sugar cone, so then obviously the cone tastes good. So then you would make two brachas, right? Because that's like the ice cream and the cone would be like a cracker and tuna. You know, and they both are an ikur over here. They're both important. You have to make a bracha on the mezainis and a bracha on the ice cream. Now, here's the tricky thing. Really, you have to always make a bracha on the mezainis before you make on a shahakal. Right. So that could be very devastating when you're eating your ice cream cone. Don't bite the bottom of your ice cream cone. So maybe we can accept you in this case because, like, you're sort of not up to the ice cream cone yet. You'd be entitled to make a shahakal first and wait till you get to the cone. Yes.
You don't have to, like, go get a cookie?
No, you do not have to. No, because you're not up. You're probably not up to the cone yet. You haven't gotten to it yet. It's like a second course, so to speak.
Is it better if you make them do it first?
Not necessary. No, you don't have to do that. Yes, I know you all thank me now.
Yeah. He is very bothered by the question.
Where this becomes a question, that where it's not so clear, and it becomes somewhat subjective, is by the ice cream sandwiches. You know, the sandwich, I don't know the name for it, right? The one with the sort of cake type of outside. So here also, it is very subjective, because there are some of these ice cream sandwiches, depends on the particular brand, that is really not edible. The it's not like a graham, like if you'd have a graham cracker, that's different, right? That has its own identity, it's hard, it can be eaten, you know, so that would probably require two brachas. But the ones that are really, you know, they stick to your fingers and they don't taste all that good, and you just eat it, you know, it's there to flavor the ice cream and just to hold it, so it's more comparable to a ice cream cone. You would only make a shahakal. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky held that the ice cream sandwich, it's almost just like a flavoring. It's like the cookie crumb ice cream. And you only make a shahakal. So definitely in most cases of the typical ice cream sandwich, that's the way it is. The exception would be is that there's a considerable amount, like it's an ice cream cake, you know, so then there's a nice amount of cake there, or a graham cracker where it's a considerable crust, so then that would require two brachas. But the typical melt-in-your-hands ice cream sandwiches, you know, that half of it remains on the wrapper, that type, so that's going to be a shahakal only. Now, it sort of goes into this category, even though it's not exactly the same thing, is what would be the bracha on sushi. The reason why I'm putting it into this category is because it ends up being the same thing. In other words, you have rice, you have seaweed, and you have, I'm imagining the bracha on seaweed is shahakal. Anyway, it doesn't make a difference. The fish is shahakal, right? And then there's vegetables there. So you have rice, vegetables, and fish, all rolled into a roll. And we can look at it like one is a spread on top of the other one. That's really what it is. You're combining it, and one enhances the other one. But here the question is, which one is enhancing which? Is the rice enhancing the fish, or is the fish enhancing the rice? So now, if you speak to someone Japanese, then they will tell you very clearly that the rice is the main dish, as it is in Japan and in China. Rice is always the main staple. Rice is the main dish. The fish is only for the purpose of enhancing the rice. And that's the way all true sushi eaters perceive sushi. The sushi is rice, and the other components are just there to enhance the rice. Over here in the States, it's not necessarily the case. The truth is, though, that the overwhelming taste is the rice, generally. You know, more often than not, that's really the overwhelming component of this mixture. But again, if you want equally as much the inside as the outside, that would require two brachas. I don't really have a clarity on what bracha sushi should be, because I think it really is very subjective. I think it's really very subjective. If the inside is not so substantial, like mostly it's the rice and there's just a little vegetables in the middle, it's not like such a substantial inside. There's different sushi rolls, like some have a very big inside and some have very little. So if it's a very little inside, I would say just make a mezainis on the rice and that's it. If it's substantial inside, you know, like a California roll or whatever it is, there's like a big chunk of meat, of fish, you can actually taste the fish or whatever it is, it makes a big difference in the taste, then you should make two brachas.
So like the rice with the fish, big piece of fish on top, that's clearly two brachas.
That would be two brachas, exactly.
Why is seaweed shahakal?
What?
I feel like seaweed is like a vegetable.
Just because it's changed its form, I think. I don't even know how, I don't know 100% how it's made. But it doesn't look like a vegetable now. I'm sure it doesn't grow that way, right?
So,
yeah. Okay, regardless. It doesn't, it'll be a shahakal anyway, yeah.
If you want the fish and the rice is just in, it, do you just make shahakal?
Then you would just make shahakal. Yeah, if that would be the main part of it. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll find it with one of my students.
Okay, so let's just summarize what we've learned over here in this category. So we've said like this. We've said that this is really, this category is using the first factor solely. Purpose. That is the key word in this category. Here, everything goes with purpose. If the purpose is the thing you're dipping, the bracha is on that item. If the purpose is both, two brachas. If the purpose is the tap thing and the other thing on bottom, like an ice cream cone, is just meant to hold it, then the bracha is on the tap, like the ice cream, and the other thing is covered by the bracha of the ice cream. You don't make a bracha on the cone, you don't make a bracha on the sandwich. And that's how you have to apply all these cases. It's not difficult to figure out, for the most part, it's quite clear, and there's no difference between mezainos and any other bracha in this category. Okay, we're basically running out of time, but let me just cover one other category, which is interesting because it's related to this category. We'll skip a category. This would be category number 4, coatings. So here's an interesting thing. You have breaded fish cutlets or breaded chicken cutlets. So you have a significant quantity of mezainos here. There's quite a bit of breadcrumbs, and it could have a pretty thick coating. What should be the right bracha? Should it be a mezainos? Should it be shahakal? Should it be both? How should we look at this? Here, it's a little different than the previous case because it's not just a spread. It was actually made together. It was cooked together. It was baked together, fried together. So how do we look at this? How should this be perceived? So now, for the most part, over here in the States, just about everybody I know makes a shahakal, and that's it. They don't make a mezainos. In Eretz Yisrael, many places can hold you should make a mezainos and only a mezainos. There are those that say, well, look at the difference between the schnitzel in Eretz Yisrael and schnitzel in America. The schnitzel in Eretz Yisrael sometimes is difficulty being fleishigs. You have to find the meat in it. The mezainos is a very, very significant portion. You know, it's almost the main part of the dish. So that could be a difference. And whereas over here in America, it's a coating, right? So let's just understand it. So the idea is as follows. If it's just a coating, so even though we said before mezainos resists becoming a tafel, over here the reason why it would be a tafel is because we look at it like an ingredient. We look at it just like a flavoring. That's the concept over here. So even though it's very substantial, it's a coating, it covers the whole thing, and that's what you see first, it can still only, since meat is so much of the main part of the meal, so much of the main purpose of this dish, so we only look at the coating as a flavoring, and that's why the only bracha we make is shahakal. If you go to Eretz Yisrael and you brave eating a piece of schnitzel, and you chew and looking for the meat, so there possibly the correct bracha is mezainos. But otherwise, typically here, the shahakal is, the meaning in America is we only make a shahakal on something which is breaded. The exception here, the interesting case rather, is chocolate-covered nuts or chocolate-covered peanut chews or, you know, all those chocolate-covered type of stuff. So over there, it's one item, right? It's one food. It's a chocolate-covered whatever. But a lot of people really are trying just to eat the chocolate, right? If they don't mind their manners, they'll just chew off the chocolate and leave the nut on the table, right? So really what they're trying to eat is the chocolate. So then it would require possibly two brachas, right? In other words, if when you're eating this peanut chew, or if you're eating the nut, the chocolate-covered peanut, really, you really want both, or you really, really want the chocolate, so then it would require two brachas. You make a shahakal on the chocolate, you nibble off some of it, and make a hadama on the peanut, or ha'etz on the almond, whatever else is under there, and eat that. It would require two brachas. So here again, it's very subjective. This chocolate-covered peanut, chocolate-covered almond, etc., will be very subjective. It will depend on what you are trying to get out of it.
If you're really eating it for the chocolate, then you just make chocolate?
Correct, yeah. Okay, so I guess we ran out of time. maybe before we start the next topic, I'll try to finish up a couple of the things we haven't covered here, cheesecake and pie and etc. I just want to finish with a thought on Nishmas. Again, we start off Nishmas, we say, Nishmas kol chai tovarcha shimcha Hashem aleikenu. The neshama of every living soul will make a bracha, tovarech, will bench, make a bracha, will bless, as shimcha, your name, Hashem aleikenu. And then we say, v'ruach kol basar, the spirit of every living flesh and bone creation, will raise and praise your remembrance. So it's interesting that when we refer to a bracha, nishmas kol chai tevarech, we attribute that to a neshama. And when we refer to tefara, to roimim, which means we'll bring glory to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we'll bring his recognition in the world, then we refer to ruach. The difference between ruach and neshama. Neshama is something which is specific to people. Only people have a neshama. People only human beings have a neshama. Only people with intelligence have a neshama. The neshama being achelik alekam imal. You have that particular tzelem alekim. That's what neshama always refers to. Ruach just means a living spirit. Right, all animals have a ruach too, ruach habasar. All animals, all creations have a ruach. What we're saying over here is an interesting thing. Every creation in the world has the ability to be mereimim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every creation, frogs, birds, trees, like we say in Pirkei Shira, they all have a shira, they all praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they all glorify His name. Their existence causes people to realize the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the awesomeness of how what He created, how great and how powerful HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. And the Chazal say, this is a very fascinating medrash in the beginning of Pirkei Shira, and it says that David HaMelech, when he finished Tehillim, he had thought that he had made the ultimate praise for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then he met a frog, and the frog was able to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu even more than all the shiras and sishbachas that David HaMelech said in Tehillim. So essentially, as far as praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a creation can possibly have a bigger ability to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Malachim can praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Other creations have the ability to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu greater than a person. But a person with a neshama is the only thing that can make a bracha. Bracha, by definition, is you're bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu into this world. That only a person with a neshama could do. Nishmas kol chai tavarach Hashem Hashem aleikenu. The only creation that can connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and bring the Shechina down here, that can infuse what we eat, infuse our homes and infuse our lives with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bring the Shechina onto this world. That's the power of a bracha. Only a person with a neshama can do that. So nishmas kol chai tavarach Hashem aleikenu, Hashem Hashem aleikenu. Ruach kol basar. Other creations, Teraim, Tefarah, Teraim, and Zechrucha Malkeinu, they can praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they have the ability to raise His name, and to glorify His name, and beautify His name. But Tevarech, to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into this world, only a person with a neshama could do. Have a good night. Hang that up.
Just to the end.
This is like an antique. I forgot how to use it.
Yeah. I need it.